So I was looking at Patreon this morning, and saw an interesting little thing I'd never paid attention to before. If you sort the people that support us, the list of people that support us, if you sort it by first name, then you get to see how many of so-and-sos there are that
Right.
support us. And turns out there's a whole lot of Stevens.
Is that the biggest
Like,
name?
I don't know if it's the biggest because I didn't go through the entire list,
Right.
but on this one page, the entire, well, not the entire page, almost the entire page is Stevens. And they're, PH Stevens, they're Steves,
How many
they're
Jimmy, Bob, and Daves are there?
VENs. And then I went to the previous page, and there's a Stefan, and there's Stephanie from Uncommon Outpost. There's a bunch of them. And then so I was like, oh, I wonder how many, different of a name there are. There's a lot of Scots. And there's a lot of, what was the other one I looked up?
Bob,
I
how
don't know
many
if there's any
Bobs?
Bobs or not. We have 7 or 8 Pauls on this page. So, it's kind of interesting just to see that there's a whole bunch of like certain names. Any
You
names you
get
want me to look
distracted
up?
easily, don't you?
I do. I do. The whole thing was like, I'll just download this list real quick. Oh, look at that. Yeah.
That's me every single day. Oh, I'm gonna go
Yeah.
start this new project. Well, let me delete all my voicemails first.
Yeah, let me first go to Amazon and see if there's anything I need. This
Yeah.
is, so there's one Bob. Bob Ryan is the only other Bob on here. Come on, Bobs. We gotta represent. Well, anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting. Oh, look, there's a whole
Is
bunch of
this
Jasons
episode
too.
500?
No. This is 454.
Okay. But we're
Yeah.
close.
Yeah. Another year.
Yeah.
If we don't miss any weeks. But yeah. Anyway, how are you guys?
I'm good. I'm back from my trip. I think I talked about it last week when I was on my trip to the Southwest, and I'm just trying to get back in the groove of things. I'm also not rushing into a video a week. I'm taking my time. I'm kind of doing every other week a little bit just to get myself, because there's so much to do. And I find I sacrifice a lot of things in the process of producing a video a week. So it's just sort of like a summer slowdown, even though the summer's over. It's a fall slowdown. And I'm in the process of working on I'm putting that shop together over the on the second floor of the barn, which is gonna be it's turned out to be sort of a showpiece workshop. It's gonna be my only workshop that doesn't have grinding and sawdust powder everywhere. So I'm gonna call it my clean shop, and I'm gonna have sewing machines and sewing and leather, of course. One thing I felt like I needed was storage, because when I first started doing leather and sewing, I started, oh, this little case is going to be my thing in the Lower East Side, right? This is my one case. Oh, you know what? I need some more. Let me adapt this other old wooden toolbox. I need more. Let me make this cabinet. So now I got five toolboxes. So now I'm going to make one big long chest of drawers, 8 feet long. It's actually what it's going to, this is Patrick's idea. It's going to become a little knee wall by the stairwell, so you don't walk off the stairwell. You don't walk. So it's going to be a railing, so to speak. Just 20 inches deep, 8 feet wide, 30 inches high, series of drawers. And a few years ago, I would have tackled it with table saw and circular saw and track saw. Now I've designed everything to cut on the CNC, and I'm completely unapologetic about that.
Jimmy, you've changed.
I certainly have, and I'm so happy that I'm not going to be sitting there at the table saw trying to figure out what the next cut is. So I'm going to cut. I'm basically making a big giant egg crate that's 20 inches deep, with all the shorties going one way and all the long ones plugging in from the other side. So it's just going to be just like that, and then I'll square it up, glue it, and then same way I'm making all the drawers, CNC on maker case, all finger jointed, and then I'll make a beautiful handmade oak face for each drawer, and then it'll look like I made the whole thing on the table saw. But we'll know the
Cheater.
secret. So I'm excited about that, because it's gonna go quicker than traditionally it would have, and it's gonna be certainly strong. So I'm jumping into that. It's funny when people always say, "How do you know what's next?" It really, for me, it just what tends to bubble up. It tends to be that if it's not something that needs a timeline on it, like a place to add. But if it's organically the next thing that just bubbles up, the next thing that I'm obsessively thinking about, and then it gets to the point where I've bumped over a little threshold where I'm like, okay, I've thought this through enough where I could probably make this in the next 7 to 10 days. Let's start. And so last night I went and I bought, I realized I did the math. I'm going to need, this is how much volume it's taking up. And I use nearly every bit of the sheet. I'm going to need 15 sheets of half inch plywood.
Oh my gosh.
So think about how heavy 15 sheets of half inch plywood is. That's how heavy this thing's going to be with all its drawers in it.
Wow. So you're not going to be able to push it down the stairs.
Yeah. I'm going to put wheels on it, drive it over. I'm going to make a hardwood top. So that'll be sort of a work surface top, 1 inch deep hardwood. I'll find something. I have maybe walnut or something. I'll make a hefty top. And I'll add some architectural details to make it look vintage. So more than that, though, it's going to be all made on the CNC machine. Haters beware.
What are you doing for, like, are you just adding hardware to each drawer for some sort of hardware piece?
Yeah,
or are you building
like
that into
vintage,
the design? Or?
It's going to look like an old hardware thing like you would have seen in a five and dime shop or you'd see in a general store. Behind the counter, although like behind the
apothecary cabinet kind of thing.
Exactly. So they have tons of these brass label pulls. You could put a label in the brass pull.
So for our audio only listeners, that was David pouring coffee.
I thought I hit the mute button. I am sorry. I really thought I hit the mute button.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's cool.
Mute and cough.
Cool. Well,
so I'm excited to jump into that.
Yeah, a large storage thing. I was actually thinking about storage this morning. You know, I've been talking about how I'm kind of redoing the shop and all these different areas and stuff like that. And my office behind me, if you're watching video, is just like full of stuff because we pulled it all out of the building and we sold it. And it all came here. And so I'm slowly putting things in places, you know, and finding stuff. But part of that that's making that a lot easier is just bringing in, like I bought a big metal cabinet for the shop. It's like one of those, it's just a steel Husky tool cabinet. Labor Day sale, by the way. Got like $150 off. So that's just a tip. But that's going to be my new camera cabinet. And so it's a dedicated 72 inch tall metal, can close up and lock cabinet that is just camera gear. And so it's having a dedicated spot for that has now given me several days worth of taking all of my lights around here and my fittings and my audio stuff and my this and my that and putting it all in one place. And while I'm doing that, having to kind of inventory what I have and make it accessible and not just like pile it in another cabinet. But the cool thing about that is by buying that one, that opened up the cabinet and drawers and stuff where I had all that stuff. And so now I'm able to take the stuff that's on the floor back here behind me and start to organize that into those new empty spaces. And then I brought home a couple of little drawer thingies that go next to your desk. And they're right here. And I put my old electric piano on top of them. So now I've got storage on both sides of that. And so it, like, by adding storage, I don't feel quite as overwhelmed with the amount of stuff I have to figure out what to do with because I know that there is a home. It's just a matter of finding the way to put it in the right places. So even just by adding that, Jimmy, I would imagine you'll feel some relief of like, oh, now I've got places that I can actually put this stuff.
Exactly. I just texted you guys. This is more for the industrial workshop. While I was away, I agreed to buy these. Me and Rob had started the process. I had one, the green one, but I bought five more Vidmar cabinets. Vidmar? Stanley Vidmar. These are the cabinets you see when you go to a parts store or a big machine shop. These are all used on Facebook Market. They're expensive. They were about $800 each. And they're typically about $1,200 or $1,500 each. But you could put thousands of pounds of parts in these drawers. They're about 20 inches deep, about 30 inches wide, and about 5-6 feet tall. And we just put them on pallets so we can move them around. But what we're going to do is we're going to consolidate all the – every time I do a project that's a toolbox. I'll buy like seven different types of handles on Amazon, you know, for like $100. I'll get to choose from. And I end up with a little box bin with all these extra parts. The three go-kart builds I've done, you end up with milk crates full of extra stuff you can't throw away because it's a brand new chain, but it's the wrong size or it's too short, or and you got brake cables and throttle cables and all this stuff. So me and Rob are going to go through everything, get rid of cabinets that are ragtag that don't match, and consolidate everything into these six cabinets. Actually, I think I'll have six at this point. And just organize them on the wall. They're all basically the same size.
Yeah.
And that green one in the picture that I sent you guys was one I bought a couple of years ago from a garage sale. And with that one thing, we were able to get rid of like five milk crates that were just randomly sitting around, maybe six milk crates, and then consolidate random drawers. So it's a tremendous amount of space, and you could put hundreds of pounds in those drawers and pull them open. Typically, they're for machine shops, so you'd pull open the drawer in a machine shop and you'd see. In fact, I went to the Kubota dealer nearby. I'll talk about that next week. I went to the Kubota dealer nearby, and at the Kubota dealer, they have like 30 of these lined up in the parts department, all painted orange. I was like, whoa, that's cool. So these Vidmar cabinets are very sturdy. So that's for the workshop. So thinking about buying something like this for the leather shop, I was like, there's no way it's going to fit the space. It just looks too industrial, machine choppy looking for an earthy, warm tone, woody spot. So I that's why I decided to make one. It was these cabinets that inspired me to make the wooden ones.
No. Oh. So I have a question about how, because I know how I would deal with this, which is poorly. if you buy all those extra hardware pieces and stuff, you know, for like Project A, and then you inventory them and you put them into this drawer that's like handles or whatever, the next time you need to do a project that uses handles, do you have the discipline? And this is not pointing fingers. Yeah. I don't have the discipline. Do you have the discipline to go through and look through what you already have before ordering a new thing? Because I have boxes of stuff that I've done that exact same thing with, and I never go there first.
No, I always, this is usually how it works. I'll spend a day looking for it, and when I can't find it, I just go and buy more. And then when it shows up and I take what I want out of it, I'm like, I can't, what am I going to do with this? And I go and I bring it right where the other one is. And I'm like, ah, there's the other parts that I couldn't find through this. That's kind of how there have been occasions where I'm like, okay, let me just let this sit here for a couple of days. And when I impulsively pick it up and go and shove it somewhere, that's where the other ones are. We're going to talk a little bit about getting old. And one part about getting old for me is I absolutely have zero recollection of doing something. I'll find something in the shop and I'll look at this and I'll be like, whose is this? And Rob's like, we bought that at the flea market 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I didn't buy this because I watched you pay for it. I'm like, this, really? And now I'm like miffed that I can't remember doing it. That's like stuff like that has been happening to me more and more. The other day I got to buy little lag bolts. I'm doing a trailer upgrade. My Patreon, see this trailer upgrade videos. And I need these little tiny lag bolts. And I know I saw them in the last like 5 days. I went through 10 drawers trying to find those lag bolts. I have no idea where they are. I'm like, I am not going to buy them. I just saw them in the last like 5 or 7 days. I'm going to go to the hardware store after we talk and go buy them. And then the minute I buy them, I'm going to buy 10. I'm only going to need 4. I'm going to go throw them in a drawer impulsively, and that's going to be where the rest of them are.
So why don't you do like imaginary lag bolts in your hand? And be like, okay, these are the extras. I guess I'll go put these away.
I jokingly said that's what I sometimes have to do.
Yeah.
But these drawers will be, Rob and I have agreed, these drawers will be a resource. We're going to try and make it the resource. That's going to be the hardware resource. One or two of them, the green one right now is dedicated to tools, and we don't have much more to put in there. We have tools that belong in certain spaces. So the others are mostly going to be parts bins. And like I said, we're going to consolidate, get rid of some riffraff that I don't necessarily use as much anymore. Just so it'll all be in there. And they're all dividers. You pull open each drawer and there's 3 or 4 dividers, and then there's randomly plates that you can stick in to separate stuff. But it's going to be it's work. Everything's work. It's keep giving myself more work. I'm like a hamster moving around the cedar chips in my life. Everywhere I go, I'm just putting more cedar chips over here. I'm going to put them over there.
And then you forgot that you put them over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm looking to eat something while both my cheeks are full of sunflower seeds.
Well, you brought up the metal cabinets for storing, and then Bob said he got the Husky cabinet for the camera stuff. And we just kind of rebuilt, redid our entryway with the coffee bar and fresh coat of paint and everything. And this is where we come in off the garage, and Kelly suggested getting school lockers to put our coats in. And I always see them at antique stores. I'm like, yeah, I'll pick one. I'll pick something up at an antique store next time I go. And maybe we'll repaint it. We'll turn it into a project or something. And then I was like, I wonder if you can buy school lockers on Amazon. And you can, and they are way cheaper than you would ever think. Like, they start at like $60. And you can get like a single locker. You can get ones that are smaller that are stacked, like what you'd see at a gym, or you can get like a whole like 5-bay one. And I'm going to get one for the shop for my camera gear. And also for our entryway. Yeah.
We looked at getting some like vintage lockers when we first moved into this house. I don't know what we were going to do with it, but we were looking at them. And so I just at the time looked on Facebook Marketplace to see, like, surely that's old junky stuff that nobody would want. They were so expensive.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And I'm like, well, there goes that idea. You know, it's way too much work to get something that you have to pay a lot of money for and then, you know, strip and paint and whatever.
Yeah. But newer ones are cheaper on Amazon. I don't know the quality. Wild. But yeah, I'm about to find out. The only thing is,
they're like made out of paper mache.
Yeah, anything they come flat metal now, it's much thinner.
Yeah, and it, some of them it looks like you almost like some of them have a combination lock, and I'm like, I wish it didn't have a combination lock. I don't want to do that every single time. But yeah, there's plenty of options there.
Yeah, I'm looking at them. Huh.
Yeah,
that's
lots of configurations. They look nice and cheaper than I expected.
Yeah.
So Jimmy brought up the I'm not going to apologize for using a CNC. The calculator build video that's coming up next. It's not quite done yet. In the beginning, I started using plywood templates and a router to route out like a hand router to route out pockets. And then I was in the voiceover, I'm like, I did this to prove something to myself. And then I realized it was way too messy, hard, took way too long, and just decided to use the CNC for the rest of it. So we'll see how this mostly CNC project goes on YouTube. But I feel you with the CNC. It's tricky to make it look good because once you show one cut, then you're like, what do you do? So the video is more about, I'll save it, but it's more about other things. Like it's not like 20 minutes of just boring CNC work.
Yeah. It's about disguising the CNC after you made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fingerprint.
That's the thing. Like when I use the laser, I try so hard to make it look like it wasn't done on a laser. I don't like the look of burnt edges. There's an aesthetic of, oh yeah, that was made with a laser cutter. We made a little end table like 6 months ago where I accidentally stole the design from stuff Seth makes. I apologize to him. But I made this whole little end table of like to purposely make something on the laser, but make it look like fine woodworking. So we did everything in layers and then veneered stuff. But anyway, so the calculator project is the next one to come out. Then we started a bed build for the other house. And I started drawing this up in Fusion 360. And usually when I draw something up in Fusion 360, I don't really care about how, if it's done right, like all the parametric stuff and if things break, if you change. But lately I've been giving away the Fusion. I haven't been making plans. I haven't made any new plans to sell for a long time. Instead, I've been trying to give away my Fusion files to my Patreon members. And I always say, this file wasn't made correctly. It was just made so I can get dimensions. Good luck, but here's the file. And for this bed build, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to build this right. I'm gonna do all my variables and parameters up front, the width, the height, the depth, the thickness. And I was doing so well where I could go in and I could make it a queen bed or a king bed or a twin, and it would all just work perfectly. And I got to a point where like, I'm done. This is taking me too long. I just need to finish it. And so I just like, screw it. I don't care about the parametric stuff anymore. And then, it's all drawn up. And then I go to get the wood for it. And I drew it up as 1-inch thick walnut. It's going to be a big, beefy bed. And I go to KenCraft to get the wood, and they have 6/4, which is 1.5-inch walnut. And I'm like, okay, I'll get that and I'll plane it down. I started planing it down. I'm like, no, we're going to stop at 1.25-inch. This is going to be a big, beefy, thick wood bed. So I go back into my Fusion file and I change everything. I change the parameter from 1-inch to 1.25-inch. Breaks the whole freaking file. So I just need to get better at Fusion. I don't use it enough, or I'm not disciplined enough to do it correctly every single time.
And, yeah. I mean, there's like diminishing returns on it for sure. But yeah. I think with a piece of furniture, especially if you're planning for it to have options or different outputs or something, that's the time when it's worthwhile. But a lot of the stuff that I model, especially for 3D printing, if it's like, I need a bracket for a thing, like it is a waste of time to do that unless you see the potential for 2 brackets that do that thing or 3 brackets or whatever. Yeah. So it's not always worthwhile.
Yeah.
But when I made my daughter's 4-poster bed a few years back, mm-hmm. and it was all made out of plywood, like sandwiched plywood to make the posts thicker and stuff like that. And I went ahead and took the time to build that one fully parametric. And then we made plans for every size 4-poster bed from that single model. And it felt so good to just like, oh, it actually worked. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is change this one number and now you've got the other bed. And
yeah.
So the plans pipeline down from that, making 5 different sizes or whatever it was way easier, but otherwise it wouldn't have mattered, you know?
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's the calculator project videos. I don't think it's going to be done by this weekend. So it'll probably come out next week. And then after that will be the bed. I'm dividing the bed into 2 parts. I'm making a bed, headboard and everything, but then I'm going to redo the headboard in another video where we do like this crazy art piece. And so that it will be a finished bed. That video will live on its own, but then I'm going to take the headboard and do cool stuff with it. I don't know what that cool stuff is, but I want the headboard to be like the centerpiece of the bedroom when you walk in.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. We painted in our bedroom. Jenny wanted this like a semicircle coming from the floor behind where our bed is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we painted it, and it's kind of like that in that it's the centerpiece of the room and it is also the headboard, even though it's just the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we painted that and we liked it, but then the dogs got on the bed one time and like scratched the paint right across the, like where the pillows are. So we're like, do we have to repaint this or should we just make a headboard? So we actually, but if we make a headboard, we have to repaint the wall so that they don't conflict because of, then yeah. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Let's see. What have I been doing? I started working on the Ghia yesterday.
Nice.
Was nice. Went out there for most of the day and started cutting out the front end because the bottom front and what's the bottom of the front and back ends both have to be completely replaced. And so started on that yesterday. It took me a little bit to get back into the sheet metal. Do what?
Did you do the back already, or you got to do both?
Oh, now I got to do both. The back's going to be way more work. So I'm trying to get back into it with the front end because it's like 3 panels rather than 6 panels or whatever. And it did take me a little while to get back into the MIG sheet metal, like kind of like it's that over and over and over for a really long time. So it took a little while, but yeah, I made some progress. Got a big section, you know, cut out and a new panel fit for it and a little patch made and stuff like that. And I'm trying to, my hope was to get that entire, the metal working of the front end done this week. But man, like life is so busy. Like I had yesterday, but then looking at the rest of the week, it's just, I've got this appointment for a kid at the doctor and like this thing I got to go do. And I got to hang out with this person on this time. And I don't have a big block of time, which has been the problem with the Karma Ghia the entire, you know, 3 years or whatever. It's just hard to get dedicated time in that place to like really dig into it. Cause it's a hard thing to do in little chunks. So anyway, that's where I'm at, and I'm trying to make progress on it. But I've also made a lot of progress in at home in the shop, just organizing. And I got the big Thunder Laser moved into the shop, got it all set up, which is really cool. So I've been doing a lot of that. I was out at the farm yesterday, and this isn't, I thought of you, Jimmy, this isn't that interesting for you because you see turkeys all the time.
Right.
But I was working on the car. Jenny called me, and so I like picked up the phone and walked to the big open door, looking out onto the big grass yard thing. And there were a bunch of turkeys walking across, like maybe 15 yards in front of me. Like really
we see
close.
A lot of turkeys in upstate New York. And what's so funny is you see a couple of large ones and like six little ones.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Because it's crazy to think that they have families, because on the farm, they're just so ragtag. There'll be one born at a time. But this seems like there's like eight of them born at one time, and they're all the same size.
Yeah. There were two or three big ones and then a bunch of really small ones. And they just kind of slowly walked across the yard and stopped and picked up bugs and whatever and
yeah.
looked at me and then went back and just kept going. And it was really cool. And they walked off into the woods.
You see them up here all the time.
We've seen them. I've never seen them out there, but I've seen them around town, you know, in fields occasionally and stuff. But it's not something we see a whole lot of.
And it is funny. You don't see them at all in the summer. As soon as it's fall or like the first couple of weeks of September, you start seeing them everywhere. It's crazy.
Oh, really?
It's like how nature works. Huh. Yeah.
Interesting. But that was a cool little episode of being out there. But I don't think I have anything other interesting. Yeah, no, that's it.
So I was thinking, guys, it's 10 years, right? This is 10 years?
Yeah.
We're getting there, yeah. In the next month.
Yeah, next month is 10 years. Is that really true? It's not accidentally 9 years, is it?
No, it's 10 years because our 10-year anniversary is next month. And the only reason we got married is because I needed health insurance.
Right, 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 right.
You might want to say that's one of the reasons we got married. Because there is the whole, like, love thing. And,
well,
you know, but
when we got together, we had decided we will never get married and we will never have kids. That was just an agreement that we had up front. And then I quit my job to become a podcaster, and I needed health insurance. And so here we are.
And I just want to throw this.
It's all for
love is a byproduct. And
oh, okay.
We are.
She doesn't listen. Don't worry. She doesn't listen to this.
Yeah. It's all good.
I'll throw it out there that, like, you know, kids are a tax write-off. Or a tax credit. So if you're really looking to game the system.
Well, I'm 49. I'm going to be 50 next year, speaking of getting old. So that's you don't want to be the grandpa who is having
grandpa
kids
dad.
For the first. Yeah, grandpa dad.
Yeah, probably not.
No. So it's been 10 years, and I just thought maybe we'd take a minute to reflect on 10 years of doing this. Honestly, to me, it seems like we just started this thing just a couple of years ago. It does not seem like it's been 10 years.
No, not at all.
And it's, I still feel like I'm trying to figure this out. There's no formula that you figure out and go, now I'm just coasting.
Oh, we know by your sound quality. You're still trying to figure it out.
Right. I mean all of it. You know, YouTube, podcasting, camera work. It's funny, the more I think about getting more technologically advanced when it comes to videos and editing and stuff, like Sean Beckner is always advocating for Final Cut Pro, which I used to use before I started doing YouTube. The few TV shows and stuff that I also was all cut on Final Cut Pro. And then when I got into YouTube, I'm like, I want to simplify this process. And I went to iMovie. And the idea of getting more advanced always makes me nervous. And so I just like stick to. So that's why I still sound like I'm in 10 years in the past. Go.
Interesting, though, because you are the opposite in a lot of other lanes. When you think about all the CNC laser stuff,
yeah,
you shied away from that technological leap, you know, in 3D printing and stuff. You shied away from that for a long time, and then you finally made those jumps a piece at a time, yeah. And now there's things that you love and things that you're integrating in, so...
Yeah, you know, no, it's true. Like I always think about the times when we began, it's the few episodes we first started, and I was always pining about wanting to learn how to use a laser. Now I have like 8 lasers. I'm getting a print one in a couple of weeks. I got my metal etching laser, which I've been having a lot of fun with from Aeon Laser. Yeah, it's crazy if you just focus in an area. Things happen even unconsciously. The learning happens unconsciously. And a lot of people always say, why do you do so many different things? I said, honestly, to keep it interesting for my audience, but also to keep it interesting for me. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like me going into this new apothecary cabinet is something I've done so many times before in one way or another. But I'm like, somebody will learn something new. And plus, there's always new audience members. Yeah. And I'm not chasing big numbers anymore. It's impossible. I have no idea how to control it. So I'm just making what I make. And people like it, they like it. And, you know, I've gotten so involved with leather work, which I never ever thought I did. I remember a time before I ever did any blacksmithing. I didn't do blacksmithing at all. Oh, my light just went out. I haven't done blacksmithing at all for a really long time. I mean, I always fantasized about it. Then when Brett McAfee came into my life, this is when I really started getting into blacksmithing because of Brett. So there's so many technological leaps and jumps that I've made in the last 10 years that I'm very proud of. And I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up. Well, see what you guys think.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like the technology stuff, it's interesting. Like I totally get not wanting to invest in a new thing that actually may not have like a dividend, you know, like moving to Final Cut. Like, I don't know if that's worthwhile for you or not. I have no idea. Yeah. But at the same time, the time that you've put into learning the CNC and the laser, you've already talked about in this episode that is going to have an immediate effect on the cabinet that you're building, and it's mm-hmm. going to make that process faster and easier for you.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it could be something with Final Cut or any other mm-hmm. whatever, that initial investment is going to end up making it easier for you to do every video going forward. I don't know that Final Cut would actually make it that much easier for you. But
the only reason,
you know, something like that.
I could tell you, and it has to do with workflow, and I would have to dedicate a hard drive to Final Cut while I'm deplatforming from iMovie, if that makes sense.
Actually, you can open iMovie files in Final Cut, and that converts them for you.
I realize that because now there's like, when you dig deep into iMovie files, it turns into a Final Cut file. I noticed that. That changed about 10 years. It's about 6 years ago. Yeah, I'm one of these days I might. I mean, I'm just using that as an example of like kind of still stuck in the past at the same time, still trying to learn something new. I'm sorry, my lights keeps going off. I'll fix this. But 10 years, it's just unbelievable that it's been 10 years.
Well, and so like, you know, you mentioned earlier getting older. And I've definitely felt this in myself, and it's something I'm constantly fighting against, both in work and just in the rest of life, that as I get older, you have this tendency of like, I know this stuff, or I know what I'm capable of. I know how fast I can run. I know what's good for me to eat and what's not. I've learned this stuff about what I'm capable of or how I am. And if you decide to, and I think a lot of people decide to, about all those things, this is how I am now. And I'm just gonna, this is how I'm gonna be until I'm not anymore. And so like, you can decide that. That's perfectly fine. But I think a lot of those things are not quite as concrete as we think they are. That's the way we have been. I have a point here. So I've never been a sports person, and we talked about me like getting into soccer and stuff recently. But lately I was like, I've never actually played soccer. I like to watch it. I mean, I've kicked the ball around with the kids, but I've never actually played a game of soccer, like a full game. And because I've never played one and I've never been trained for it, I probably shouldn't play one. And I'm like, what a stupid thing to think. What does that mean? I've never done lots of stuff. That doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. And so I started just like kicking the ball against the wall and doing the stuff that I see my kids doing to get better at the thing that they enjoy. I'm like, well, why can't I just do that too? I'm not going to be a pro soccer player. I'm not even going to be as good as my kids are. And that's fine. That's not the goal. But the goal is I'm not done yet, right? I don't have to start deciding things that I can't ever get to. I'm young enough, even though I'm older than I was, I'm young enough that I can still just decide to start doing new things and trying to be faster when I run. And, you know, I started kayaking and I'm just like, I'm trying to let myself or make myself not fall into that, well, I'm getting older and I guess this is just how I am now kind of thing. You know what I mean? And you can apply that to physical stuff, to work stuff, technology stuff, how you relate to people, how you make friends. You could apply that to everything, I guess. But it's been on my mind a lot. So, going do you all have anything like that that you've just settled into? Or, David, maybe that's what you were going to say. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to take it back to the CNC stuff. And I just wanted to bring up a fun little memory that I had where when I was still working at the ad agency, before this podcast and before I was doing YouTube full time, I was making videos, and Bob and I would email each other every once in a while. And Bob said, do you have any interest in getting into CNCs? Somewhere I still have this email. And I said, no, it's not in the budget. I can't afford one. And you were like, oh, you should check out this new company. It was like it was Inventables, but I think they called their machine the Shapeoko, and then they split up years later. But it was this little CNC that you build, and then you use a Dremel. That was my first CNC. And then that was like the stepping stone into all these other digital tools that I have now. And it's crazy to think how far I've come since that email, since I was like, oh, it's not accessible, it's not affordable, and then here we are. I got all these crazy digital tools.
I remember the first couple of shows you guys were talking about CNC and laser cutting, and I just would sit on the sidelines. It's like, I don't know what they're talking about. I might have had a CNC when we started, but I had no idea how to use it. I might have gotten my shop bot, but it sat around for almost a year before I really touched it because I didn't know what to do with it.
And now I look at you, and you have this amazing CNC plasma cutter set up, and it just looks so effortless when you do it. And when I do it, something's always wrong. I only show
the good stuff.
Right.
Winging a piece of steel into the yard in anger and kicking the machine. I don't show any of that. Punching the computer screen. It just doesn't look good on camera.
See, the irony there is that both of, like, maybe I was the first one to really start doing CNC work, but then I stopped. Like, I don't use the CNC.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, but it's, you guys both started doing that thing and then started figuring out ways to make it work with what you do, and, you know, you come back to it, and you don't do it for a while, and then you do it again, and I just kind of, like, I don't know, I don't have a place to put it in my toolkit, in and so it's just not something I do. And the further I get from it, the more in my mind settles into like, well, that's just not really a thing I do.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's good. I always want to be prepared for anything that comes through the door. So that's why I always like to have all this stuff. And you have a CNC.
I avoid it. Maybe I don't avoid it. I don't put it in the way of an idea. So that
same with
the
me
idea
with 3D printing. I don't think in that area. It's here. It's sitting right there over my shoulder. You can see it. But I just, I feel bad for the resin printer company. They're like, hey, how's the resin printer work? And I'm like, it works great.
Sits on the table just fine.
It's great. Actually, Ryan, the kid who lives with me, Ryan printed a whole bunch of parts for a friend of ours who's redeveloping film. He's going to open a whole new shop in Manhattan, our friend Dave. And Dave is buying all antique, not antique, but at this point they can consider them, but machines for chemical film developing. And when chemical film developing went out of fashion, basically became obsolete, people threw away parts of these machines. So like you have this big unit with all the accessories that carry the film through the dunking tanks. They were just like, man, throw them away. They're like these racks that have this odd shape to them, which carry film by the sprocket holes so that the film isn't touching when it drapes over. And then these rods, they pick up and they dunk and they dunk and they dunk. And so Dave challenged Ryan and I. Is like, hey, how can we make these? And me and Ryan surmised that we could break it into segments. So if you get seven or eight of these segments, they could plug right into the next one, next to that. And then all of a sudden you have a 25, 30 inch rod. And we made, Ryan took over the project. I kind of bailed out, but Ryan printed a bunch of the parts on 3D printer here just to test them. And then I think Dave was going to have like a printing farm make a bunch of them because he needs hundreds of them.
I worked at the 1 hour photo at Kmart for 8 years. A couple of those years was at the 1 hour photo. And I wonder what happened to all those developing machines. And then, they got to be somewhere. And then after I graduated college, my first job was a photo technician for a newspaper. And so I would develop all the film. And the film taken with the cameras was all done by hand, dipping it into the tanks. And then anytime we had to make an actual print, people had the option of buying a photo if they were in the newspaper. And so I would actually do all the things in the bins, dipping the paper in the... Doesn't sound like I know what I'm talking about. But for the actual newspaper, the film for the newspaper was the size of a newspaper, and it had to go through this machine. Same process as photo paper, but just with this plasticky film. And it went through, and it grabbed the paper, grabbed the film, and pulled it through the developer, the stop bath, and then the cleaning thing. And then I had to clean the machine every day. Like, where are all those machines? That would be
they're in junkyards.
Yeah.
Dave went around, and Dave actually purchased several machines back from somebody. I think he got them in Canada. I don't know. My light is not taking a charge, so I'm going to be in the dark for a minute. But anyway, the idea of just how far we've come is just amazing. I'm going to stop and reflect. And when I look at my own property, this place, I was talking to my brother about it yesterday because we were just talking about where we invest money. And he says, you just keep investing money in your own property, which is not a dumb thing. But this horse barn is going to be done soon. Actually, in a couple of weeks, David, the Mexican carpenter, that's his channel on Instagram, and Kyle, R&R Building, are coming with LP siding. They're going to put siding on the horse barn. It's going to be a big event. So I'm excited about that. So that's going to really, really button up that project after having made all the doors. And Patrick's doing a lot of Instagram stories. Patrick Reynolds, he volunteered to do all the walls in there. I bought all the materials, been sitting around. He's like, hey, I need work. He goes, you've been so busy with other things. Let me do that. So Patrick is buttoning up all the walls upstairs, insulating them and putting the covering. We're putting a tongue and groove covering on the walls just to finish up the interior of the upstairs. So the upstairs is going to basically be like a finished apartment versus the downstairs is going to still be industrial for a little while. Still no heating in the building or plumbing, but the whole building is prepped for it. That's going to be the next hurdle. I have an engineer in town doing the engineering drawings for the septic tank. I'm going to have to do it all correctly in the event that the town has to sign off on everything like that. So that it's all done on the deed. So an engineer is working on doing the septic tank. So that building is actually going to have a bathroom. But, everything gets so complicated. Baby steps.
Going back, I think back to, Bob influenced me to get CNC. I think I got a welder because Jimmy did, and I got the same a Lincoln welder that you did because I saw you using it and you having success with it. It's funny to think like how much you two have influenced where I've gone. And then we have to think about all the people watching these videos, how much influences them to purchase or to not purchase various tools and stuff.
It's to breach a new technology that you've been scared to do.
Yeah.
I also want to bring up Jeff Duro. You guys remember Jeff Turow?
Oh, yeah.
He's the reason why we do this podcast. You guys remember?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I talk to Jeff often. Jeff edits my Fitzall podcast, and we talk several times a month. And we were just talking the other day. He has the bamboo printer, and he's just talking about how impressed he is with it. He said to me, because he knows I'm a sort of a technophobe when it comes to 3D printing, he goes, you have to get one of these. It is the simplest, most incredible machine. He's like, they've thought of everything, and he's showing me pictures on the app and stuff. So shout out to Jeff, who in a comment on Facebook, I believe, said you three guys should do a podcast together. And it forced the three of us to talk. And we actually didn't even meet in person for several years.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
Maker Faire, I think, was the first time we saw each other in person. My first glimpse of Jimmy was you spray painting a Duresta stencil on the parking lot pavement. So
here I am, almost 60 years old. I still do the same thing. Every time I travel, I spray paint my name in the parking spot where I'm at.
Oh, gosh.
That's amazing.
I still do.
I mean, over the years, we've seen you do that on people and on places.
That is true.
Seriously, anytime I do a road trip, which I'm going to be doing a road trip, I'm going to go out to Carolina Shoes Factory in Pennsylvania in about a week. Anytime I do a road trip, I make sure at the very tailgate I have a couple cans of spray paint and a couple of stencils. And every time I open my truck tailgate to get a drink or organize lunch or whatever, I look at the end of the tail of the white line where I'm parked, and I put a Duresta logo on it.
Hmm.
Just planting little acorns for people to find. And I'll, if somebody finds one of those and takes a picture of it and sends it to me, I'll send you a nice pic.
Mm.
Man, that's all right.
It's an open
bounty. Wow,
scavenger hunt, yeah.
Okay, so I have a question for you. So we're talking about, you know, this 10 years, and I assume none of us had any idea 10 years ago where we would be right now, even if we had an idea of what we wanted that to be. You know, you end up in a different spot. So looking ahead 10 years, based on your age and where you are in life and how your business is, all that type of stuff, is there anything that you definitely want to make sure is in 10 years? Lots of stuff you won't be able to control.
Right.
But like, is there something you want to have done or to have or to be 10 years from now?
10 years from now, Well, 10 years from now, I want to have finished. I want to be putting the last bit of molding in the graveyard house in 10 years from now.
Mm.
That's a joke. Hopefully I finish it faster than that.
Yeah.
No, I've made the joke, and now from time to time I think about it. If, for instance, I needed to cash out, I jokingly say I would sell this house and move 2 miles up the road and live in that house. And I don't know if that's would happen, but if somebody made me an offer that I couldn't refuse, because property around here is going for a lot more than anybody ever expected it to. This neighborhood over here is really boomed since the pandemic. People were putting up properties. For instance, any house that's up here for $350,000 a year before the pandemic would have sold for $80,000. Every property up here was $80,000 or $125,000. Now that's $350,000 to $550,000. And so I don't know what's going to happen to this place in 10 years, because there were a lot of empty lots that are now getting buildings put on them. It was very, very rural. It was almost a neighborhood or an area that, well, Greene County, New York, was always considered a very depressed area, so nobody invested any money. So a farm would go out of business and start to collapse into the weather, and then eventually it would just collapse, and then it would just be an empty lot. So that's changing around here a little bit. 10 years from now, I think I would like to be doing more pottery in a very serious way and possibly doing more fine art. With Rachel inspiring me, because she's a fine art dealer, she says, you have everything at your disposal. There's no reason why you shouldn't be making fine art. She's like, I could put your work directly in front of clients. And we actually might have sold a piece. And I haven't shown any of that really on social media, not even on Patreon. But I've been working on this concept for a piece. I don't know. Did I show you guys offline? Did I show you guys?
I think so. Stuff? You showed us some stuff early on.
Yeah, yeah. They're actually made on a CNC machine. And we might have placed a piece.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah. And just in general, doing more fine art, more definitely more leather work. I'd like to make my leather work more prosperous. And that's the big push for the shop, the clean shop. Yeah, so leather, pottery, and probably more fine art and more big sculptural pieces, bigger, larger pieces where I need like forklifts and cranes to move around, that kind of thing.
Mm.
More inspired by like Richard Serra and John Chamberlain. These are all artists that make big metal-y stuff. Guys I've always been inspired by since I was in art school, but I never really had the gumption to attempt any of those type of things. But I'd like to maybe get more involved in that type of stuff. So those are like some long-term 10-year goals.
Awesome. David, what about you?
I'm not real good at thinking about the future, and somehow it has worked well for me so far. But I hope that I am still making stuff that I want to make for a living. I don't know if that's YouTube, because I'm driving my YouTube channel into the ground right now. And
Me too. Cool.
Me too. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to be the
first race to the bottom?
And so I don't know what that is, but I hope I still get to make stuff that I want to make and be able to make a living from that. Whether that is art or it is pieces that I just make and sell, or if I'm lucky enough to still do YouTube 10 years from now, that'd be amazing. But I hope I'm not doing client work. But maybe that changes. I'll change my mind tomorrow about what I want to do. So we'll see. But I think I've set the path for me to do what I want to do for the rest of my life. I think.
Mm. Is there a skill that you don't have that you want to have at that point?
Is it a skill? Real estate. Like, I want to be able to buy and sell properties, because I think that's the next chapter in my life. I don't know how long this YouTube thing is going to last. So, and like Jimmy says, real estate always goes up. For 300 years, real estate has done nothing but go up. It takes its dips, but it always bounces back, and it seems to be like the constant investment. So if I can somehow get in there and do it in a way that is ethical, because there are some very non-ethical ways to go about real estate, I think that's a skill that I want to develop.
Cool. Awesome.
And you?
Well, my big thing is I just want to have my Land Cruiser back. In the next 10 years.
Any updates?
That's crazy.
No.
It's... No.
No. No. No. I think I do want to, in the next 10 years, I should have the Ghia done by then. I should be pretty far into the Green Cruiser. I want to understand the whole stack of car restoration. I want to have done it a couple of times and maybe never do it again. But I think that whole process and figuring out like the steps and the order of operations and stuff is really interesting to me. And so I want to have gone through that a couple of times in the next 10 years. And I would love to say that I would at least have started the A-frame, but looking ahead, the next 10 years of my life is four kids finishing high school, going into college, and the amount of like life changeover for me in the next 10 years is going to be significant. So taking on the task of building a house myself, I don't know if that's realistic or not. That may be after that 10 years, but so I don't know. But as far as work, you know, I would like to be in 10 years to a point to where I can make the stuff that I want at the schedule that I want. Because even though my schedule has slowed a lot, it's still bound to, you know, like time is money kind of thing. Like the videos being produced and the stuff being made is still a direct correlation to how much money I have on any given day. And so I would like to separate those two things so that I could just make stuff and the income is independent from that schedule. But I don't know exactly how that would play out.
Make things, make videos because you want to, not because you have to. That's always been my goal.
Yeah. I think that would be cool. Or just have it to where the videos don't even have to, they don't have to make any money. You know what I mean? Like they could, that'd be cool, but
that's where I'm at.
They weren't the center piece, you know. I think that'd be nice. But
yeah, that's where I'm at.
That they don't make any money?
Not really. I mean, I do have some product placement, which is helping.
Sure.
Yeah. I have a really big project coming up from the liquor company, which is a nice piece of change. It's going to be interesting. It's another golf carty project, like the yellow one that I made last time. So,
soon. Cool. All right. Well, any other thoughts on doing this for a really long time?
We'll see. What will be a new platform in 10 years from now? TV business will be gone in 10 years from now. There'll be a whole new revamp of the television industry. There's no doubt about it. And streaming and YouTube. YouTube now comprises 60% of viewers' eyeballs versus 40% on regular television. I saw some statistic. I've talked about him before. Patrick, the producer on Instagram, he really gives a full breath of what's going on in the television, YouTube, streaming industry. He's sort of becoming the spokesperson for it all because he talks about it most openly. Check out Patrick, the producer. He's not my final recommendation. I have another one.
I don't.
I got two recommendations.
Yay!
I got three, but I'm going to save one for next week. That's the three's just overkill.
Well, as long as you get another one for next week, then you'll have a backup for me next week as well.
All right. Yay! I got you. I got you.
Thanks. Big thanks to our Patreon supporters for hanging around for, not all of them have been there for 10 years, but some of them have been there for 10 years. I guarantee you, I should look that up. And I could definitely do that. Because, hang on. You guys talk for just a second. Let me figure out who is still supporting us and has been supporting us the longest. I'm curious about this. Say something. Do something interesting so that I can find this.
So, I'll talk about my recommendation.
Okay, so Jeremy Gunkel. Okay?
Thank you, Jeremy.
Is the longest running Patreon supporter. Guess when Jeremy started supporting?
Episode 3.
I don't know what the episode number is. December 14th, 2014. That is almost 10 years of support.
Yeah, that was like 3 episodes in because we were doing it every other week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, every other week.
And so like the 4th or 5th episode.
Yeah, 4th or 5th.
Wow.
That's wild. And then Ben, I don't know how to say your last name, Rufinacht? Rufinacht, probably. 6 days later.
Wow.
9 days later, Ariel Lopez. I mean, and then like, hey, Paul Jackman is down there just in February, the following February, and Brian Prusa. Paul.
I'm going to be hanging out with Paul in Pennsylvania. We're going to the Carolina Shoe Factory together in a couple weeks.
And then Justin, Laura Kampf. Man, look at all those awesome people.
Thank you, guys.
Fantastic.
It's beautiful.
But, I mean, 10 years supporting a show of 3 Yahoos talking about stuff that they don't know anything about.
Literally trying to figure it out.
Yes.
In the open.
That's amazing.
It's like trying on clothes with the door open in a situation. At Walmart. Like trying on clothes in Walmart with the door open.
That's a good one. Now I have to change the title of the show. Thank you for that. Big thanks, though. Seriously, for no matter how long you've been supporting the show, that's amazing. It really is. So thank you for the support. Thanks for being around. We are very grateful.
Yeah.
Especially our top supporters. I don't know how long these people have been supporting, but it's quite a while. This list has not changed in a while. But they go above and beyond. They really do. Big thanks to Crabtree Creative, Michael Manegin, Warren Works, Jeff at the New Janky Workshop, Scott at Dad It Yourself DIY, Sean Beckner, Odin Leather Goods, Rich at Low End Designs, Low End Design. I always put an S on there. Sorry, Rich. Chad's Custom Creations, Chad from Mancrafting, Works by Solo, Albers Woodworks, and Corey Ward. And you, Jeremy Gunkel. Thank you, Jeremy. You're all awesome. The after show is available to everybody on Patreon, no matter what level or how long you've been supporting. Doesn't matter. You can go listen to it. The link for that is in Patreon, so you have to be a Patreon supporter to get that link. You can put it in your podcast player, listen to it just like you listen to this show. And it is usually, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 minutes extra, depending on how much stuff we have.
I've got stuff to talk about in the after show. My AC went out in the shop, and I just got the estimate to fix it. And it is way more than I expected. And so I need to discuss options for AC in my shop.
Okay. I'll tell you my brother's fiasco that happened in the beginning of the summer.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Central AC. A fair warning. Make sure your filters are fixed or changed. Okay.
If you want to join the Patreon, you want to get the after show, you want to hear about David's AC woes, go to patreon.com/makingit. Join up, get the podcast. We would appreciate it. We do appreciate it. Thank you all very much. Mm-hmm. All right, what you got?
I'm going to tell you about, there's this thing I found, and I've never, and this is going to cause some problems. I hope it doesn't, but I've never been a huge fan of Joe Rogan because he's such a flip-floppy opinion guy. So I never really listened. And the clips that I see online, I'm like, exactly. Whoever's in front of him, he platforms people that absolutely should be living out of a garbage bag on the street and mumbling to themselves. So I've never really loved Joe Rogan. So just sitting at the airport in Santa Fe, I'm looking and I never even said his name, so I don't even know why. It was suggested to me, this thing called the Elephant Graveyard. And more than the fact that he literally tears down Joe Rogan and all the comedians associated with him, more than that, the guy is an incredible filmmaker and storyteller. He takes such an interesting swing. He's a critic. He's a comedy critic. That's the bottom line. But he takes such an interesting swing at filmmaking and the way he does what he does. You got to check him out. Dave, you would love it. You got to check out The Elephant Graveyard.
And I'm very curious.
Yeah. I mean, especially since you're a comedian. I know you're a comedian at heart. No, seriously. I mean, I know you're a big fan of comedy.
Yeah.
He really does a great job at taking down some of these people in comedy that may have gotten famous too fast, or now that they have fame, they take advantage of it. I'm not a big fan of people being negative in other people's careers, but in general, like I said, more often, his interesting take at the way he does what he does. It's not just somebody in front of a camera talking. He puts together a compilation of clips. He does an amazing voiceover in some cases. In some cases, he uses AI voiceover. So he writes an entire script and the whole thing is AI'd over. They're very, really interesting choices. So I don't know, take a look. And if you're not a Joe Rogan lover, you might find it fun.
All right.
I'll tell a quick story.
Please.
In 1998, my brother John got a TV show and he moved to LA. And I went out there. He went out to research and find a house. And he rented a house for his family to move out. He left the police department. A really huge deal in our family. This is in 1998. And I flew out to LA to go see the house. He was just there for a couple of days because he still was figuring out how to get out of New York. And he's like, the Comedy Store is the big place to go to. So he and I went to the Comedy Store. We walked in and Joe Rogan was on stage tearing the house down. Super funny. This is in 1998. How many years ago is that? Almost 26 years ago.
It was 100 years ago.
It was 100 years ago. So my first experience ever walking into the Comedy Store, Joe Rogan was on stage and he was hilarious. I think he's a funny comedian. I just don't love him as a podcaster. That's it. Go ahead.
All right. So this video came... This wasn't going to be my pick because it was just too obvious. But this video is so good. It's the Peter McKinnon, the Bucket Shot 2. It might be the best video ever uploaded to YouTube. It is so good. It's like a little mini documentary about how Red Bull contacted him to take a photo of two Red Bull planes going past the eclipse. And the anxiety and the buildup to this point, the feeling of like, why me? I can't do this. This is insane. I'm not like the excitement at the end of the video. It's just a roller coaster of emotion, and this video doesn't belong on YouTube. It's just so good. So what was going to be my pick is, Bob, you might be interested in this if you don't know about it already. Levi Allen? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay. He's got a new podcast channel called Adventure Film Academy. And it's just basically him sitting in front of a microphone talking. And it's about camera stuff. It's about filming. It's about going on adventures. But it's also a lot about the things that I've been talking about in my videos the last couple months, of the inner struggles, the why we do what we do. And it's just really, really good. And he's got a really good podcasty type voice. It's calm, it's soothing, it's meditative. It's fantastic.
Cool. He's a cool guy too. He did a podcast with somebody else that you would know for a little while. And it was like Creative Club something. I can't remember what it was called, but it was interesting because it was the two creative people talking about the difficulty of being creative and having a business around that creative stuff together. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot of, you know, a lot of thoughts and experience around that. Plus, he makes really amazing adventure films. He does all sorts of slackline films and running and all sorts of stuff. I met him at something one time. He was really cool. He's very tall too.
Super
tall.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, that's cool.
It's always surprising, alarming when you think you know somebody and you see them and then they're like 7 foot tall.
Yeah. He's pretty tall. Cool. Well, thanks for having two, because I don't have one. I appreciate that. You guys got anything else?
That's it. I set some goals for myself at 10 years. I'm excited. I'm going to write them on the wall.
Cool. All right. Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and catch you next time.
Love you.